not a sponsee. There we go. Record. Yeah, it's a good story. Should record this. So I had a sponsee who was in court for an altercation. He assaulted the woman that he was formerly living with. And the day he got out of jail, he met me. He asked me to be a sponsor, and we hit the ground running. He took the steps rapidly. Because of COVID, it took a few years to go to court over this issue. And I go to court with him 2 years later. He's now 2 years sober. And I get to see him make amends on the stand to the woman he assaulted. I get to see him make the amends, and he's tearing up, and I'm bawling like a baby. I'm bawling like an absolute baby, because everything we had talked about, everything that he said he would love to say, it was one of those things where she was on the list of leave her alone unless God puts you in her path. And God put him in her path, and he was able to make the amends on the stand. And I remember, I think there might be somebody from my home group who was there that day. And I remember that the prosecutor says we were going to extend this restraining order. And the woman taps her on the shoulder and says, no need for that. And then later, a few days later, he's telling his story at our home group because he's about to be sentenced to 10 months in prison. And he tells his story, and she's there. And at the end of the meeting, they both stand up, and she runs to him, hugs him, and says, I forgive you. And I got to see that. And it's not even my experience, but I get a spiritual experience from just like this adjacent experience from someone who for some reason asked me to help them. Why? I have no idea, but I get it from that. So this first paragraph, like, something happens when I see someone else recovering, it does something spiritual for me. Anyways, that's all I got for now.
Thanks, Larry. Okay, our next reading is on page 91. See your man alone, if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up until the time you quit, but say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. Denise?
Okay, thank you. I want to say something that I was going to say and I forgot. This was written in 1939, and back then they had, you know, a very small number. They didn't have meetings. They didn't have, the sponsorship that we have today. Now we have meetings everywhere. So, we adapted to us today and see how it fits into our experience. And I just forgot to mention that, and it's such a beautiful part of step 12 and what we read before, is that life will take on new meaning to watch people recover and to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see fellowship grow up among you, to see a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. And I could have missed this. I was no help to another person. I was miserable, depressed. I couldn't be of help, and running on my self-propulsion. It says, we know you will not want to miss this. Frequent contact with newcomers and each other is the bright spot of our lives. And if we're not working with another alcoholic, we're not helping someone else once we get this, then we miss that bright spot that we get to see in other people's lives and that we get to experience with them. So that's the beauty of this, that that we get this chance, and these are all promises that it talks about. So on page 91, you know, it talks about when we first came in, we have to remember how we were, right? I didn't know any of this. I didn't even know I was an alcoholic. I would say, hi, I'm Denise, and I don't know what I am. I couldn't say it. If I didn't know, I wouldn't say it, right? And they all laughed at me. And, you know, and then I since learned that I truly am, because I, you know, I'm always different than everybody. So I'm different. I'm not really an alcoholic. You are. You know, I was looking at all their stories and saying, I don't have the same story as them. But that's not what we're supposed to look at. We're supposed to look at that we couldn't stop and couldn't stay stopped. And that's what I definitely was, a real alcoholic, and I see it all now. So the basic thing is getting together with another person. And the beauty of it is with Bill and Bob is that they were up for hours telling each other their story, right? They could relate one alcoholic to another. It's no more being shamed and your family saying you shouldn't stop and you should stop, you're weak, you're hurting people. Can't you just like not drink, or can't you like moderate or whatever? And then we're just so full of shame because we think we're losers, right? But I have a note that says alcoholics are not bad people who need to get good. Alcoholics are sick people who need to get well. So we are sick. We have a disease. Now, we're not going to say the word maybe disease to them, because maybe they in the beginning, they're not going to like that, but we can tell them we're sick, right? Because they maybe they wouldn't understand it. But the basic thing I love about this program was when I heard my sponsor tell me her story and I could relate to it. And when I heard them read how it works in meetings, and then I heard people talk about, you know, how sick they were, and just mostly the things that were shared by the stories and Bill and Bob and all that, I was just like, I can't even believe that these people know what I'm going through. Like, I actually was quiet, like, do they really know me? Like, because I thought I was the only one that felt like that. And it's so beautiful to talk to another alcoholic and hear them speak of their experience so that I feel that I am normal. You know, I'm not normal, I'm sick, but there's hope, there is a way, there is a solution, there is, and then the 12 steps, you know, giving that a fair go, which I really didn't in the beginning. I didn't even want to look in the book. I would listen to it at meetings, but I didn't give it a fair go in the beginning because it looked like a Bible and you weren't going to tell me about God, because I already had a religion that fell apart. And God didn't help me. You know, God was like, allowed all these things to happen. And, you know, it was that kind of thinking. I was in self. And now I totally think differently. I thank God for where I'm at, because I know God was with me this whole time. Whatever I experienced in my life was to bring me to this today. And if I had to become an alcoholic in order to help another person, what a beautiful thing, right? And like we were talking about on my other meeting, like we had to go through the lashes of alcoholism and the pain that we went through in order to be a little open, to be able to see this and go through the steps. And then it gave us this beautiful spiritual experience. And now God is saying, and now I want you to give it back. You're my child. I gave this to you. I want you to help my children. And really, that's how it works. It's not that we're going to be like some princes and kings, and like we're going to be these big speakers that everybody's going to come to and just, you know, like bow down to us, which is not really what I want. But, you know, it's the simple thing. It's saving people's lives. Even if you, and we're not saving their lives, God is. We're just putting their hand into the hand of God. We're giving them our experience, strength, and hope, and they can relate. And that's when we're open, because we're not being lectured to, we're not being pushed. And we're going to tell them about our drinking career. We're going to not moralize them or lecture. And we're going to maybe tell them about some of our escapades. And I've done that. And I'm sure you've all done that, where you tell them about the light things and the funny things that happened. And then they get to like laugh at it and say, yeah, I did it too. I did that too. And then they tell you yours, you know? So it's a beautiful way that this all works. So thank you.
Thanks, Denise. Larry?
Yeah, thanks, Denise. So this is exactly kind of, I remember reading this chapter with my sponsor and like, oh man, this is what you were doing. I remember having that thought, like, you're just doing what was here. I, at the beginning, I was like, man, you know, it's funny. Alcoholics love to talk about themselves. And that's really all that my sponsor did, is he constantly just shared his experience, always sharing his experience. And I get to this part in the book, I'm like, ah, this is the, you know, my sponsor had this thing he used to say, where it's like, if you can make some Kraft macaroni and cheese, then you can take some of the steps, right? Like, if you can follow directions, then you can do these steps. Problem is, for a guy like me, I love to make like my own version of mac and cheese, right? I want to add some special cheese. You know, I want to change the recipe to make it better. And my sponsor was adamant, like, you know, just stick to the recipe, right? But when I read this chapter, I was like, oh, he was doing this exact thing, same thing to me. He was just sharing his experience over and over and over. And when he didn't have the experience, he may would sometimes say, you know, you should call so-and-so. They may have been through that. You know, so-and-so has gone through that. You might want to talk to them. And I remember one night I was out in front of, I've told this story before, and I don't know if he'll remember it. He's in the room, but maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I was out in front of Downtown Young and Sober talking to him on the phone, and I am just vomiting in his ear, just all about my wife and my life and my wife. And he was like, bro, I love you, but I don't sponsor your wife, one. And two, I'm not a marriage counselor, right? Why don't you go into that meeting, find some newcomers, get some numbers, and go help somebody, go help some drunks. And I was like, why does this dude, why, I remember this is the first time he ever actually hurt my feelings. I was like, why aren't you listening to me? Do you hear what I'm saying here? Like, I'm spitting, like, I'm just laying it all out there. And he was, you know, and that's what I love about, you know, sponsor. He sponsored me right out of the big book, is that my sponsor is not a therapist. He's not a lawyer. He's not a doctor. He's not a marriage counselor. And if he is any of those things, he's not that to me. He's just sharing his experience. And his experience was that when all other measures fail, I go help somebody else. And then maybe my problem or my higher power will take care of my other issues. And it's funny, that's the kind of the way it worked for me. So like, just sitting down, you know, ever since Ebby sat at that kitchen table with Bill, it's worked the same way over and over and over and over until we're sitting in a Zoom meeting, you know, 86 years later, almost 87 years, actually probably 87 years later at this point. Yeah, it would have been 87 years later. And, you know, it's just a bunch of drunks sharing their experiences with each other. I'm not here to run someone else's life. I'm not here to control someone else's life, a sponsor, anybody. You know, if you want me to run your life, I will run that shit right into the ground like I did my own. But what I can do is help you find a common solution, which is what my sponsor did for me, is that he just shared his experience with these 12 steps. And when I wanted his opinion, he was very adamant to tell me, like, this is just my opinion. This has nothing to do with AA, by the way. So I love that this is the way it works, is that it's just constantly, just tell them about yourself. That's all we're doing here, is, you know, almost I'm identifying. And I'll share more about that in the next paragraph. Anyways, that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry. All right, our next reading is on page 91. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this as we have done it in the chapter on alcoholism. If he is alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistencies with some of his own. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him, from your experience, how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't, at this stage, refer to this book unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can, if he is not too alcoholic. But insist, if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. Denise?
Okay, thank you. So You know, this isn't the only game in town. There's many paths to recovery. And if they have another path, they want to do refuge recovery or with their church or whatever, you know, God bless them. But this is not the only one. But this is the one that worked for me. This is the one that worked for us. And this is the only way that I know to recover. So this is the 12 steps worked. It opened up the spiritual path. It opened up my understanding of God. And it's going to help the other sick alcoholic and suffering alcoholic as well, if we give it a fair shake, right? If we give it a chance. So we tell each other the stories about ourselves. After I talk about my story and then I hear a little of them, then we have a connection, one human to another, connecting, having an understanding. You can actually feel the energy that is like loving and open, right? And a little openness instead of them running, or which I was doing. I my husband would say, are you drinking? And it would be like the door was shut. No, you know, I was drinking, and then I would lie. You know, I wanted to not talk about it. I didn't want to hear about it. I thought he was just judging me, accusing me. I'm sick inside. I'm depressed. I'm dying. And this is the only thing that is giving me any kind of relief. And it's my best friend. And I did tell him that at one point. This is my best friend. And I said, I know it's pathetic, but it is. Pretty sad, but it was the truth. So we get to share that with another alcoholic, and then tell them the story of how you woke up. And that's the thing that we do. We talk about what worked for me, what woke me up, what helped me to see that I need to get out of my own way. I need to get off of my foot and have the acceptance and the allow the spiritual side of life to come into my heart, and to realize that I had God my whole life, but I really did not know how to access that power. I didn't have an understanding of God, and I didn't know how to connect, because God was just too big for me. God was would never want to deal with me with my problems. Maybe he's okay for you, but not for me. So he was too big and too high for me. And I was told by you guys that I had to get my own conception of God, get my own understanding. And I didn't know how to do that until I went through these steps, until I had that experience. And then I started working with others, and then got to see the light come on in their eyes. And they have the spiritual experience and change. And then it says that, you know, show them with our experience, the queer mental surrounding. Like when we take that first drink and the normal functioning of the willpower. And of course, they're saying don't refer to the book, but we can just tell them our experience that I had this mental blank spot in my mind that makes me think about drinking and the obsession of alcohol, because I have these bedevilments, which I would not tell them the word bedevilment, they wouldn't understand it, but I have these maladies, a spiritual malady in me that blocks me or keeps me from having peace in my life. And my whole life I had that and didn't know how to get out of it, even before I drank. I started drinking alcoholically in my 50s, and I'm 67 now. I didn't even drink years ago. I drank a little bit of wine. I'm an Italian, and my dad would laugh at me because I'd put ice in it, you know. But before I came into my religion at 16 and 17, we'd go into the woods and drink, and I would drink till I vomited. So I probably would have been a raging alcoholic if it wasn't for that religion. So I thank God for that, instead of blaming God for ruining my life, which I did in the beginning. So tell them about your bedevilments, like the loneliness, that, you know, all the things that it lists, not being able to get along with other people and always being in collision with somebody. And, now how your life has meaning, and how all these conditions that you had brought you to this craving for alcohol, like we have to stop the thought somehow. So if you're not going to drink or you're not going to drug, you're going to do something else, right? No human can withstand the things that go on in our heads, right? Without some kind of a spiritual experience or some kind of a solution. And thank God that we have a God that we can, you know, that works in our life, that doesn't even have to be God. It can be a higher power. It can be spirit of the universe, whatever it is for you, but it's something greater than you that can restore you to sanity. And if we just give it a go. Now, of course, I'm not going to tell them all this to the depth in the beginning, but we just like see where they're at, and we just tell our story and meet them where they're at and whatever they're open to, but they'll get to feel the bright spot in our lives. They'll feel that we have that solution, and they're going to want it too. And that's what I wanted. I wanted what these people had, even though I didn't understand. They seemed a little crazy to me. They seemed a little out there. They were a little too happy, but I wanted it. So I stayed, and I'm glad I did. So thank you.
Thanks, Denise. Larry?
Yeah. Hey, this is kind of my sponsor, and I guess like the group or the fellowship around my sponsor, these guys, they all kind of had this message, right? And it's a message that used to really piss me off. I remember thinking before I'd go to Candlelight and I'd sit in the corner and I'd be like, oh man, they always say the same thing. They always share. It's always the same share. Untreated alcoholism. Here we go again. Yeah, I know. Untreated alcoholism. They're gonna talk about that again. And something happened after, you know, after going to meetings for a while where that message started to resonate with me because I was feeling it because I had put the plug in the jug for a little while. And I was just going to meetings and I'm starting to feel the actual ramifications of untreated alcoholism. Like, I honestly, I believe it's chemical. If you put enough alcohol in anybody, they're bound to do dumb shit. It's just the way the body works. They may not develop the phenomenon of craving that I get, but if you get enough alcohol on somebody, they're probably going to crash cars, you know, whatever. But it's the untreated alcoholism that resonated with me. It's because why can other people say, you know what, I've done that, I'm not doing that again, and they mean it? When I say, because I mean it too, it doesn't come true. When I say, I'm not doing that again, and then I'm doing that again. And I didn't understand that. I was baffled by that. And the message that my sponsor really spoke to me was when they would talk about untreated alcoholism, what it feels like when I don't drink. And I'm like, that thing you guys, that's what I got. Whatever you guys are talking about, that is what I have. That feeling where just the world is out to get me. Everybody, the world looks askew. People are staring at me the wrong way. Everybody's voice just gets on my nerves. You know, people in my life don't treat me the way they're supposed to be treating me. I'm not making enough money. The politics are pissing me off. That person has an ugly shirt on. That dude's share sucked. Why is this guy even in the AA? You know, like all of these things are constantly going through my head before I become like this ball of just a powder keg ready to blow up. And for years, the only solution to that, the only way I treated my alcoholism was through drinking. And I'd take that drink and I'd rest back in my seat and the world was good again. And I'd been doing this for decades. You know, I took my first drink at 11, you know, and when I heard this message of untreated alcoholism, when I actually started listening, because I tried a bunch of other stuff to get sober. I tried everything but AA. I'd gone to silent meditation retreats, yoga, all millions of self-help books that I actually read. Therapy. I did smart recovery for a minute. I did all these things. And even AA wasn't working for me either. But the difference is that I realized today as I wasn't doing AA, I was going to meetings, but I wasn't actually doing the program. And I didn't realize that until I actually got a sponsor, and the sponsor taking me through that book and walking me through these steps. And then I really understood the true nature of untreated alcoholism. So I do believe alcohol is that two-faceted disease, right? That when I start, I can't stop. That's the phenomenon of craving. And then when I stop, I can't stay stopped. That's the obsession of the mind. And that message of the obsession of the mind that my sponsor shared out of his own experience, not trying to tell me what I should do, not trying to tell me I had to figure it out on my own because I'm stubborn as hell. It had to be my idea. It just had to be, you know what? I identify. It just had to be. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. You know, I'm not one of those people that believe that non-alcoholics don't get it. I think they do get it. I just won't listen to them because I'm stubborn, right? I got to hear it from someone who I identify with. And that's an alcoholic. So hearing my sponsor say it, it resonated with me. And I'm so glad that he shared his personal experience and allowed me to see through his experience what I was doing. Because once again, I can't see it when I'm going through it. Anyways, that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry. Okay, we're going to continue on to page 92. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. You will soon have your friend admitting he has many, if not all, of the traits of the alcoholic. If his own doctor is willing to tell him that he is an alcoholic, so much the better. Even though your protege may not have entirely admitted his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. Let him ask you that question if he will. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There is no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your own convictions are. Denise?
Okay. So we just went through We Agnostics, like I said, with my little group, my homework group. And We Agnostics, to me, is a beautiful chapter that opens up the reality that we will have faith in so many other things, but we can't give the spiritual side of life a go. We're so blocked by our own intellect and our own like thinking that we've had since we were children that we are blocked. So what we do in this is we're going to talk about our malady, that we all have a spiritual malady, that we are have a disease of the mind and the body. And like James said, that we can't stop once we take the first drink and we can't stay stopped. So there's a problem. We're sick people, right? And that many of us are doomed that are real alcoholics and we don't understand. We didn't understand this predicament. And that, you know, hopefully with our stories and with us explaining how sick we were, and that we understand their problem because of what we have been through, that your prospect will become curious about this themselves. And then it goes on to say, stress the spiritual feature freely. So we're not like saying so much about God in the beginning, but we are saying about God. We are talking about a higher power. And a lot of people in AA will say, don't tell people about God. You're going to scare them away. You can't say the God thing. But the question is, scare them away to what? Where will you go? If we can't go to God, if we can't go to a higher power, right? That a power of our, you know, our conception that's greater than us, we can't go to ourselves. Another human is not going to have the answers because we're human, right? You can't. And Bill had, he had written a letter, I think it was the 50s or 60s, where he had gotten very depressed. And it was about emotional sobriety, where he realized that if he placed too much faith and importance in other people or things or sponsorship or groups or AA or whatever, even the book, that you're not, or too much reliance is what he had said, that he realized that is why he got depressed, because he was not depending on God. He was not going direct to the spiritual part, which is asking God to help direct him and help. And we do that. A lot of us do that. I mean, I've done it where I'll just say the prayer at night and in the morning, and then throughout the day, I've got this. And then I see those bedevilments coming back. So I can measure my spiritual health by what my bedevilments look like. Am I starting to, you know, be angry at my husband? Am I starting to try to control people? Am I starting to, you know, be miserable, wake up miserable? And so when I see those things, I realize I have to work with another person, go to God, you know, work this program, stop resting on my laurels. And that's what we're going to help the other man to see, or woman. So these people will become very curious and want this for themselves, because they feel it, they see it, they see that they've been miserable and they don't have the answers. So because they're getting to see that this did something for us. So they said, stress the spiritual feature. And the man is, if he's agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he doesn't have to agree with your conception of God. But get your own higher power. And he can choose a conception provided it makes sense to him. And that's that takes a little time. You know, it didn't happen for me right away. The main thing is that he be willing to get a power greater than himself, and just hopefully they'll get that part, and that he live by spiritual principles. And how do you live by spiritual principles? You go through the 12 steps, and that's what opens it up. And lets us see it, and just like give it a chance. And so when dealing with these people every day, the language to describe the spiritual principles, there is no use arousing prejudice or certain theological terms. Like, we're not preaching to them, we're not like being evangelists. So we're not going to raise those issues. We're just going to say what our convictions are. And again, this is not the only way to get sober, but it is a way. It's a beautiful way. It brings us to the spiritual path. It brings us to God. And I feel we have this. We've gotten this opened up to us. Give it a chance. If you haven't done it, if you haven't gone through the steps, I mean, there's many people here I'm sure will sponsor. I would love to sponsor any women here that would want this. And it just helps me too, as much as it helps you. But this is a beautiful thing. And I like how James said that, you know, I was in so much self that when I would call my sponsor, I would tell her all the problems about my husband and what he was doing. And she would say, wait a minute, what is it about what he's doing that's making you upset? No, what is it about you that you're allowing him to make you upset? And it was almost like she hit me in the face, like, what? You don't want to hear about all the things about him. You want to hear, you want to bring it back to me. And it was actually the best thing that could be, because what I learned in here is when I'm disturbed, as it says in the spiritual axiom, by some person, place, or thing, or some situation, the problem is always with me. The problem is always, always with me. I mean, it completely stresses it. And I don't know what page, but somebody I'm sure knows. But that is beautiful. So whenever I'm disturbed, I realize that my agnosticism is coming in, which I'm not relying on God. And I have to take a look at that. And I have to start working the program more. So thank you.
Thanks, Denise. Larry.
Hey, thanks. Am I unmuted? Yes, I am. So this is, man, thank God for good sponsorship, because this is really where my sponsor really helped me, because I was a defiant evangelical atheist. If I could convince you that your religion and your belief was wrong, I was definitely going to try to do that. And sitting in AA, all I heard was God, 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 steps, God, 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 God. And I was like, man, this is not for me. And I remember one of the first meetings I went to in Norfolk, there was this woman who was, I guess she was an atheist, and she would share, and I'd hear people whisper, here she goes again. I'm like, oh, I better be quiet. I better not open my mouth. And I was really like nervous about, I didn't think AA would work for me. I didn't think it would at all. I didn't think it was for someone like me. Until I stole from AA 101, I stole a grapevine from there that said, that was October 2016, I think it was. And it was dedicated to atheists and agnostics and Alcoholics Anonymous. And I read their stories, and it opened the door for me. It opened the door where I would eventually get a sponsor. And I had a conversation, you know, I didn't plan it this way. It just happened this way. You know, I used the word God today, right? It's short. It makes sense. I heard my friend Amy, who I think is here, say it the other day. I'm like, yeah, I'm stealing that. It makes sense, right? And, but he was able to match my intellectual, you know, I tried to over intellectualize the belief in a higher power, and he was able to match that. He was able, you know, he'd read what I read, you know, he knew about Marcus Aurelius. He knew about Stoicism. He knew about all these things where I would try to say these, you know, and he honestly didn't care what I believed or didn't believe. But I remember he said to me, do you believe I believe? And I did. At this point, I believed that most of the people in Alcoholics believed in something. I thought you were all crazy, but I believed you believed. And, he was like, are you willing to continue with the rest of these steps? And I was like, I'm definitely willing to do that. And that's really all it took for me. It's all it took for me. I was willing to set aside all my prejudice about belief and take the rest of the steps. And I was also willing to believe that as it says earlier in the book, it says, can you believe, or are you willing to believe? I'm willing to believe in a lot of stuff, provided there's enough evidence. And my sponsor was like, well, then take the steps and let's look at the evidence. Let's see what happens. What's the fruit of the steps? You take those steps and maybe you'll be presented with evidence. And damn if he wasn't right. I took those steps and I was presented with evidence. Evidence that these steps work. Evidence that they could give me a spiritual experience. And I do have a spiritual program today. A lot of the way I interface with my higher powers directly through the people of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I've been able, you know, someone told me not too long ago, we take these 12 steps so then we can begin the work of the 12 steps. We take what we learn from that and we take it outside these rooms. So now I'm able to do these actions amongst just normal people. You know, it very early on, all I did was help drunks. Now I'm able to be of service to all people, all God's children. And it's a beautiful thing. So having a sponsor, I cannot tell you how important it was for me. And I've had the opportunity. Well, you know, I'll be quiet. We're running out of time. But having a sponsor taking me through this belief portion, really steps 2 and 3, it was very helpful for someone like me. Anyways, that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry. Okay, we're gonna finish with reading number 5 on page 94. Outline the program of action, explaining how you have made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you hope only that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all to the good. The more helpless hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions. Okay, so Denise, if we can just have you wrap up real quick, and then we'll have Larry.
Okay, yeah, I'm just gonna be quick. I'll just tell you a couple things that I get from this is that actually, I was told this by my sponsor and I heard this from other people in AA that, yeah, make the phone call because you're helping me more than I'm helping you. And I really didn't understand that. So I held back and I didn't make the phone calls. But now I realize now that I've had this awakening and how much it helps me to talk to the people that I sponsor and when I see the light come on in their eyes, how much they're helping me just as much, maybe more, and they don't realize it. And so I tell them that, and that happened tonight. They were saying, oh, this was great. And I said, not one of these words are for me. First of all, I learned it from AA, and you're helping me more than I'm helping you. And also that when I do share this with them, I think it's so important that I be loving and make it clear that they don't know this yet. I don't have to say that to them. And I realize they don't know this yet, but their lives are on the line. And I have to remember that this is a life and death that we're facing. And that, so I have to, do this the best that I can, let them know that the spiritual way of life is actually it's there's life or there's death. There's choosing the spiritual path or an alcoholic death. And that's what it says in there. And do I want to choose life or death? And, if I'm effective with them, if I bring out my story and try to help them because, you know, we've been through it, then maybe, there's a fighting chance there. So that's what gives me my hope. Thank you.
Thanks, Denise. Bring us home, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you, Denise, as well. Thank you, Elizabeth. I'll try to be quick. The 12th step for me is like, that's where it all happens. That's really like, I don't give advice a lot in AA. And one of the things that you might hear me say is like, get a sponsor. Because it was so pivotal in my life. But my message has changed a little bit because it takes two people. And if you've never sponsored somebody, sponsor others. It really should be the dual message. Get a sponsor and sponsor others. It has been the one thing that gets my head out of my ass when I need it the most. It is a shoulder to shoulder program. I tell people this is not Luke Skywalker and Yoda. I am not a wise sage. I'm just a drunk just like you. And we walk this path shoulder to shoulder and we help each other out. And there are times when my sponsor needs help. There are times when I need help. And we are just two drunks walking this path together. And maybe I've walked this path before and I can tell you what pitfalls and which direction I went. And it didn't work when I went that direction, but you can go that direction if you want to. You know, my sponsor was that kind of guy. You want to go drink, Larry? Which bar do you want me to drop you off at? Let me know how it works for you. I'm not here to run your life. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I've had the opportunity to sponsor men, from all walks of life. It talks about it, there is a solution. We share this common peril, right? It's the only place I know where the lawyer sponsors the guy he locked up, who sponsors the dishwasher, who sponsors the doctor. Like, none of that shit matters. We all just help each other out. And, if you're new and you don't have a sponsor, my hat goes off to you because you're really doing it the hard way. It just helps to have a guide, someone who's done it before. And for me, this is what changed everything. And when I began to sponsor other people, the recovery really started to change for me. It really started. And my sponsor had me raise my hand really early. As soon as I was done with the steps, raise your hand. And Denise kind of touched on it. I don't hear what we just read. I don't hear stick the cotton in your mouth and take it out of your ears. I don't hear sit down and shut up. I hear you might have made a friend. My whole goal here is to be helpful, not to tell you what to do and not to make you feel like you're a piece of shit. Recovery should not hurt. It might be painful, but it shouldn't hurt, and I shouldn't hurt anybody. Maybe I've made a new friend, and I got a lot of friends in AA. and they've all helped me out. Anyways, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, it's time to pass the seventh tradition basket. My co-host Mike is going to put the link up for us. You can, we welcome credit cards and debit cards or Venmo. And the seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? David.
I shared my screen and then lost the unmute button. Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic named David. This group, the Simple Actions group, on May 9th, we are going to have a little event. We call it Supper and a Speaker. And on May 9th, we are going to meet in person at the Ghent United Methodist Church. At 6 p.m., we have a potluck. 7 p.m., we have Chris W., past delegate from Virginia. I can't wait to hear her story. All are welcome. It's an open meeting. In other words, all are welcome. Potluck means bring something. you can get a copy of this flyer on simpleactions.net or at tidewaterinnergroup.org. May 9th, 6 p.m. Come one, come all. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Do we have any other announcements? Great. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hand or wave. Okay, great. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. I want to thank everyone who participated. I'm going to unmute everyone for the Lord's Prayer and give you guys a chance to thank both Denise and Larry. And Jonathan has volunteered to read the last paragraphs on page 164.
My name is Jonathan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jonathan.
Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, Jonathan. All right, we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer and then feel free to thank our speakers. Okay, so... Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Thank you, Denise. Woo! Thank you, Larry. Thank you,
Thank you so much. Thanks, Denise. Thanks, Larry.
I caught like 1% of that. All right, blah, 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 blah.
Hey, real quick.